Let's take our Bibles together to the book of John. We're going verse by verse through John. We're in chapter 3 by the grace of God. We'll finish that chapter tonight. Great chapter in the Word of God. John chapter 3, we've come to verse 31 together. John 3:31. The Bible says, "He that cometh from above is above all, he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." God will bless his word. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful so much for the truth that we know that Jesus Christ is all that we need. And we pray, Lord, that he would be magnified, Father, today in our hearts and minds. And we pray, Lord, that in all things he would have the preeminence. And may we appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ a little more for looking into this text. And the Spirit of God, we pray you'd make application to us, that these things may enter deep in our hearts and produce fruit for your glory. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. In these verses that are before us, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. I entitled the message, "The Total Package." And I did that because in society, you know, they'll say, This person is the total package when they're looking for a spouse. This woman here is the total package. She's mentally good. She's beautiful. She's all of these things. She's just everything and together. They say the same thing about, you know, a man they're looking for, and they have all the characteristics. They say that about sports people, you know. He's not only a good batter. He's a good fielder. He's a total package. He fits every need and every scenario just the way it should be. You know, Jesus Christ certainly is the total package. Everything that you could ever dream of in one individual, God's Son has that within him. And these verses describe to us why Jesus Christ is above all, that he is everything that any human being ought to look to and want and trust. And there's really seven things here. The Bible says in verse number 31, as we look together, the first one, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." The first thing that I say tonight, that Jesus Christ is the total package, because he's the only one that is from heaven. And because of that, he is above all. When someone is above all, that means, you know, there's nothing exempted. He's the top. You can't get any higher than Jesus Christ. And the reason that he is above all, it mentions that two times in verse 31, is because he's from heaven. He is from above, so he is above all. The same verse says, "He that is of the earth is earthly." Now, all of us, we come from the earth. We that's why we talk about things that don't matter. That's why we speak of the things of the earth all the time and the carnal things of life, because this is where we're from. But when Jesus Christ came to this world, he came from another world. He came from above. He came from heaven. And because of that, God has set him above all things, because that's where he came from. So he's above all. He's not like us. He's not like us at all. His home was heaven. That's where he belongs. That's where everything finds itself coming together within him, not down here on the earth. And he says that heaven is above and the earth is earthly. And this is what God's trying to say. Don't you know how high, how much higher heaven is from the earth? Heaven itself is so much higher than the earth. Heaven is so much more important than the earth. So all the people that come from down here, that's where they are in stature. But the one that comes from up here, you see, he's up here. He's so much more important than those down here. May I say this? Heavenly things are so much more valuable than earthly things. You see that? And that's why we as God's people, we need to be looking above. Our affections, the Bible says, ought to be above and not on things on the earth. Why? Because the things from heaven are so much higher than the things from earth. They're so much more important. They're so much more lasting. And so I need to fill my life with heavenly things instead of earthly things, because earthly things are the base things. The heavenly things are the important things. Wrap your life up in heavenly things. Wrap your life up in spiritual things. The things of this earth will grow. They're going to grow strangely dim. They're going to pass away. But the one that is from above, wrapped up in Him, in that heavenly package, is all that you need in life. Let your affection be on Him. Let your affection be on He that is from above. Let your affection be on Him, He that is above. And not worry about everything on this earth. Everything on the earth is just crazy and confused. But everything is fine in heaven tonight. Everything is in order. There's praise there. There's glory there. There's order there. It's all right because heaven is so much higher than the earth. And that's where my home is. Not down here. And that's where I want to wrap my hopes and dreams and my loves up. In things of heaven, not on things on the earth. He says this one that should mean everything to us. He says He is above all because He's from above. The Bible says concerning Him being above all, it says He's far above. Far above. We read that over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21, where the Bible says that Jesus is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10, He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, He said the second man, the first man now is of the earth, earthy. And that first man, that Adam man, that earthy man, in Adam all die. That Bible says that first man, the earth is, he's earthy. That's why these earthly things aren't important. The heavenly things are important. Wrap your life. The earthy man, it just ends in death. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And that's where our emphasis ought to be. Our priorities ought to reflect that Jesus Christ is above all, even in my life. He's over all. The Bible says the same Lord who's over all. And He's over all things. He's the head over all things to the church. We want to do everything here in this place under the will of Christ, under His pleasure, and submitted to Him. Because why? He is above all. He's more important than my opinion, more important than your opinion. It's He that we seek to please. He's above all. And the church is under His authority and under His control. Christ, the total package, because He's not from the earth. Everything on this earth will fail and dim and pass away. But Jesus Christ, the one that is from above and that is above all, He's a place where you can put your faith. He says in John chapter 3, look at verse 32. Not only is He's the total package because He's the one that's from heaven, the only one from heaven. He's above all. The Virgin Mary didn't come from heaven. She ain't a virgin any longer anyway. She had plenty of kids. Amen. Yeah. She didn't come from heaven. Nobody came. Muhammad didn't come from heaven. But Jesus came from heaven. He came from above. All the rest of us, we're just creatures down here. He's the total package. Verse 32. And what He hath seen and heard, that He testifieth. And no man receiveth His testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. Wrapped up in Jesus Christ is a package from heaven. Wrapped up in Jesus Christ is something that is above everything that you could possibly understand or attain. And wrapped up in Jesus Christ is a true testimony. You see how many times the word testifieth occurs? He testifieth, the Bible says, that he has seen and heard. Receiveth his testimony, he said in verse 32 and 33. And verse 34, he speaketh God's words. Jesus Christ is the one that has the words that you'll not hear from anyone else. The true words. And the strange thing here in this text, he said, Jesus Christ speaking what he has seen and heard. Now let me ask you a question. What do you think somebody from heaven has seen and heard? Everything. You know, I can talk about heaven, but I've never been there. I'm just repeating what I've been told by one who came from there. You see? But when Jesus speaks, you better listen, because he's speaking about personal, first-hand information. You want to go to heaven? He can tell you all about it. You want to escape hell? He can tell you all about it. Because he had personal experience about all those things, and we need to listen. Listen to his testimony. Don't look, people take so many other people's advice. They go on their own opinion when Jesus Christ's testimony ought to be the one that you listen to and value and heed. Because he's speaking from what he knows to be true. The Bible says he speaks of what he has seen and what he's heard. But look at that verse. He says, verse 32, and no man receiveth his testimony. You mean the one that really finally does know all the answers to the universe and nobody's going to listen to him? The one that finally has the answer for man's heart and all things, and you're not going to listen to it? Look at chapter 3. He said over there in chapter 3, in verse 11, Jesus said, we're in chapter 3, verse 11, he's speaking Nicodemus, 3:11, verily, verily, I say to thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. Of course, that's Jesus and God the Father. And then he says this, he says, and ye receive not our witness. I'm telling you what I know to be true and you don't want to hear it. You know why that is? Because men would rather hear a lie and believe a lie and hear something that's not true than hear something that is true. Because the plain, simple truth usually goes against us. It goes against the way we think, goes against the way we live, goes against our opinions that we hold. You know, it would be a great thing if people would take their opinions and throw them in the ocean and let Jesus do the thinking for them. It'd be good. And if you're saved, the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Well, if you have his mind, why don't you use it? Amen. If you got his mind, why don't you use it? There's a lot of people who have the mind of Christ, but they don't use it. Let him, because his testimony is true. His word is true. His opinion is right. It's not what you think about it. It's not what I think. It's about what Jesus thinks about it, because he's the one that has all the answers about it, you see. And no man receiveth his testimony. They don't want to hear. Now, with that being said, no man in his flesh, no natural man can receive the testimony of Jesus Christ. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, the Bible said. But look at the next verse. Some people did receive his testimony, but they didn't receive it in themselves. The Spirit of God had to show it to them, because the next verse, verse 33 of John chapter 3, he that hath received his testimony. So, though no man in the general sense, or no natural man, or no man outside of the revelation of the Spirit of God can receive the testimony of Christ, and the world doesn't want it, and the Jews didn't want it, and mankind doesn't want that testimony, there are few that have listened to the testimony of Jesus and have received it. There are some that said, you know, Jesus is right. Jesus is right, and I need to listen to what he says. He is the faithful witness. That's what Revelation 1:5 says. You know what I find rather amazing? Only one man in the history of humanity came down here and did all the things that Jesus did, lived a perfect sinless life, and he, the God-man, even through his resurrection and all that, and after the resurrection and all of those miracles, and all of those perfect sermons and all of that power and all of that never man spake like this man in his testimony. Can you imagine hearing the preaching of Jesus Christ? Can you imagine sitting at his feet and hearing him tell us about heaven and tell us about the Father and tell us about the truth? And after all that, for 3.5 years, there were only 120 people that received his testimony. In the early book of Acts, there were 120 gathered together. That was it. That's men and women both. That's everybody included. How is it that the God-man can be here, and then by the time he leaves, only 120 people are convinced? Even today, you'd think, I wonder how big Jesus' church would be today if he came and started all over again. How many would want to go to his church? Boy, everybody go to his church. Yeah, after about 2 messages. Because why? That testimony is right. That testimony is true. And if in my heart I am not hungry for the truth, if I don't want that testimony, then I'm going to get away from it. Because it's too pure, it's too right, it's too clear. And evidently, in the whole world, there's only 120 people, when Jesus Christ leaves, that were that convinced of his testimony. What a sad commentary on humanity. I believe in the judgment of the great day, people are going to stand up and testify. Well, Jesus even said that, did he not? He said the Queen of Sheba is going to rise up and condemn you. A greater than Solomon is here, and you couldn't believe the witness. Nineveh is going to rise up and testify against you. Because someone greater than Jonah is here. And you can't receive his witness. Oh, the world would much rather hear a charlatan. The world would much rather hear somebody that wouldn't give the whole truth and nothing but the truth and the testimony that the Bible says that Jesus Christ gave. Well, how much do we want that testimony? For the most part, nobody wants it. But in his he's the whole package, because everything he says is right. Everything he says is true. Everything he says, every opinion he has is spot on. It's right where it needs to be. He's the total package. You can lean on every word that he says. Nowhere else can you find that. The Bible says in verse 33, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. I wonder, is our testimony from our lives that God is true? You know, the Word of God says in Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. And God is true. But the only people that will testify that God is true are the ones that receive his testimony. The ones that agree with Jesus are the ones that are going to say, God is true. God is right. God's true. I'm not true. I'm wrong. Man's not true. Man's wrong. But God's true. God's right. Everything God says is true and right. I agree with God. When someone receives the testimony of Jesus Christ, he agrees that God is true, even to the detriment and the condemnation of his own self. God's true. I'm not true. You're not true. The world's not true. But God's true. And if we receive the testimony of Jesus Christ, we must declare that God is true. That's our seal. Whatever twist and turn of our lives take, say, well, God's still true. I don't understand this, that, and the other thing, and a bit out of shape here, and this relationship and that. But God's true. If you receive God's testimony, your seal is, God is true. God's right and everybody else is wrong. And God's right and I'm wrong. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the testimony of people that have believed the testimony of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 34, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. His testimony is full of the words of God. What did Jesus Christ testify when he was here? What did he speak of? The Bible says, he whom God hath sent, that's Jesus, speaketh the words of God. That means that Christ did not go around giving the message of God. or the principles of God. Jesus Christ went around and gave people the words of God. He speaketh the words of God. I've talked to people that say, well, you know, the Bible and those words in there. But, you know, I just want the overall meaning. Jesus didn't come to give man the overall meaning. His purpose, His testimony, was to give men the words of God. Plural. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And by the way, when we are communicating the testimony of Jesus Christ, what are we communicating? Our desire is to do just what He did and communicate the words of God to the world. That's our same, should be our same preoccupation as it was with our Lord. He said, well, we're having Bible school and we're going to have a good time and we're going to sing songs and do this. You know what we're trying to do in Bible school? We're trying to take these words of God, even if they're little phrases, just five or six at a time, and take these words and stick them in their brain and stick them in their heart. Amen. That's what we're trying to do in Sunday school. We don't get up and just, teach a good little ditty. We're trying to get the words. So somebody said, I like this Bible or that Bible. I can understand that one better. Well, look, I want a Bible that has the words in it. Because the words are what Jesus spoke. And the words are what I need. These words wash my brain. These words wash my heart. You ought to memorize these words. You ought to read these words. Well, we have a generation, they don't read the words, they don't love the words, they don't memorize the words. They just have this casual, general relationship with Christianity. It's not been a month of... My uncle, I didn't tell you this, my uncle that was here last Sunday. Mom, Dad, you might have to help me with this. He challenged us when I was a young boy. And his pastor years and years ago got on to about reading the words of God. And he started reading through his Bible. How many times he read through? I think he said he's up to like 140. 147 times read through his Bible. He's not a preacher. He's somebody that loves the words of God. I wonder how many times people have read through their phone or read on the internet or read Drudge or read Fox or read tweets or read Facebook or read the politics or the... Jesus Christ, when He came, He spoke the words of God. You can't speak the words of God to people if you don't know what they are. If they don't mean a whole lot to you. We are trying... religion does a lot of things, but what makes us different is we are trying to communicate to the entire world the words of God. We're not interested in establishing any other fact or truth. We're not interested in communicating any other thing from our opinion, our heart, or our mind. We're trying to get God's words into people's lives. And that's what Jesus did. That was His testimony. If anybody could have ever reasoned with man, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, His testimony, was speaking the words of God. Not just ideas, not just opinions. This is the testimony we must get to the world. The Bible says... The testimony of Christ, if you're saved, was confirmed in you, 1 Corinthians 1:6. And God declared unto us the testimony of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Grab 2 Timothy. Would you grab 2 Timothy and then get Revelation chapter 1? This testimony of Jesus. Why is Jesus the whole package? Because His testimony is complete. His testimony is right. His testimony is something you should base your life upon. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and with the other hand, get Revelation chapter 1. Now, mind you, you say, well, that sounds pretty simplistic. Well, watch. If you ever get involved with the true testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, then watch what's going to happen. Let's read Revelation first. Revelation chapter 1. Watch verse 9. There's a cost involved with you agreeing with the testimony of Jesus. There's a cost involved with you delivering the testimony of Jesus, which is the words of God. Revelation 1:9. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the what? For the testimony of Jesus Christ. John, what did you do that was so bad? Well, I just agreed with Jesus' testimony and I went everywhere telling what he told, and it got me in big trouble with everybody. Look at chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6. This is a theme really throughout the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 9, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." These are people that weren't just exiled to an island. These are people that lost their lives and were beheaded, were slain for holding on to the word of God and to the testimony of God. Look at chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 17, speaking of the coming day when Satan's going to be ruling this world in a great tribulation period. And the Bible says in Revelation 12, 17, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed." Why? Why is Satan so mad? "Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." What makes the devil mad? What makes the devil mad is somebody who has the same testimony that Jesus Christ had when he was here. What makes the dragon angry is anyone that will speak the words of God just like Jesus spoke the words of God. That is the enemy of the devil. That is the crux of the matter of his fight. He doesn't care if man has religion. He does care if they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He does care if the world has the word of God. That's why nothing has been more attacked, and people that have been associated with even giving us the Bible and preaching the Bible have been persecuted and slain, because the wrath of the devil is on anybody that stands with the testimony of Jesus Christ. And just because we in America have somewhat of a respite to that doesn't mean that our brethren throughout the whole world do not. You're in Revelation 12, look at verse 11, this is great. "In spite of the wrath of that dragon," Revelation 12, 11, "and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the" what? "By the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death." Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ also gives us victory over the devil. But it's coupled with my testimony, the word of my testimony that agrees with that word of God and agrees with that blood of the Lord God. And that testimony overcomes the devil's wrath that he seeks to pour out upon me, just like it will here in this tribulation period. Stay in love with the Bible. Stay in love with the total package that brings you all the words of God. Because really, you're invincible as long as God has a plan and purpose for you to keep spreading that testimony. Look at chapter 11. This is great. Revelation 11. These two witnesses right here in the tribulation period and all the wrath of the Antichrist and the devil is against them. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God, and they stood upon their feet." Let's see, that's not the one I want. Yeah, verse 7, I'm sorry. "And when they," speaking of the same people we just read about, verse 7, "and when they shall have finished their testimony," you see that? "The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city." You say, well, that's sad. They die. Well, when you finish your testimony, it's time to leave. You see, the purpose of my life is just to stay here as long as God can use me. You say, well, man, isn't the purpose of your life, you know, at the end of your life, just have a good time? No, I got all of heaven to do that. I got all of eternity, amen, to kick off my shoes and put them in the river of life and eat the tree, amen, that God's got up there and look at all and just have a good time and go flying around the solar system and, amen, just look. I got 1,000 years to reign with Jesus Christ and just have a great old time. But right now is the time that my testimony is important. You know, we use that word testimony as in what others know about me with God. But really in the context is something you are testifying of. your words that you're saying. And the Bible says when they finish their testimony, how about that? You know, I was talking one time to a missionary and I said, you know, one of the greatest motivations to serve God and speak the words of God to other people is that there still is a reason for you to be alive. Let me ask you a question. If I were just to go off on the side of a mountain somewhere, amen, and shoot elk and moose and drink out of the clear brook somewhere and just have a good time, just enjoy creation, grow some vegetables, just have a good time, relax. What good would my life do God anything? I really think we ought to have a reason to be alive. And according to those two witnesses there, when their testimony was finished, they had no more reason to be alive. So God let them be killed and slain. And then, he raised them from the dead. But their life stopped when their testimony stopped. Now, I know a lot of people that are saved that won't testify and won't speak God's words. And their life's still going on, but really the value of their life has stopped. And the busier we are for the Lord and the more involved we are in getting the words of God to people, it gives us a reason to keep breathing. It really does. It gives a purpose for my life for God to say, man, I got to leave them there a little longer. They're not finished with their testimony. Amen. Just let them keep talking. Let them keep speaking my words. When they finish their testimony, then they leave. God, help us not to stop our testimony before we've finished our race. Paul said, I've finished my course. He finished his testimony. He preached to the last person he was going to preach to. And when he spoke all the words he's supposed to speak, all right, Lord, I'm going with you. Connect your life with speaking the words of God to other people. You said, preacher, I'm not a preacher. Every time you put a tract in somebody's hand, amen. Every time you help speed the word of God through the mouth of the missionary, there are a thousand ways. Every time you sit with a child in Bible school or master club or whatever in your community, with your family, your friends, connect your life with spreading the word of God. The Bible said Jesus Christ, his testimony was complete. His testimony was the total package. It was the words of God. Now look at 2 Timothy. I didn't forget it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8, be not thou therefore, what's that next word? Ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We've read, He's from heaven. His testimony is what He's seen and heard. And He knows, and God's true. And He speaks the Word of God. And the Bible says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. This is what will happen. If you step out on a limb and agree with the testimony of God and speak the word of God to people, many times they're not going to appreciate it. You'll be persecuted for it. And God says, don't you be ashamed. Don't you be ashamed of what I've said. Don't you be ashamed of what I've written. I'm not ashamed of anything in this book. Amen. And you know what? You get out there on a limb with some of that. I was preaching up there in Virginia and God put that thought, man, I had to preach on the fear of the Lord. Well, that was a heavy one. That they gave us our text, so it's their fault. The fear of the Lord. I was talking about the fear of the Lord. You know what Proverbs 30 says? God says, if you mock your father, If you don't honor and obey your mother, you know what God says He's going to do? He said, I'm going to send the ravens and the eagles to pluck out your eyes and eat your eyeballs. Oh, what an awful, monstrous God. I'm not ashamed of what He said. You know what I am ashamed of? I'm ashamed of children that don't honor and obey their parents. Oh, but over there in the Old Testament, they took up stones and they stoned somebody for disobeying his parents. Well, amen. Well, how is that the love of God? It wasn't time for the love of God. It was time for the judgment of God. I'm not going to apologize for God. I'm not going to apologize for Jesus Christ saying He's going to cast people in the lake of fire. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't want people to go there, but I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed that the Bible says, where their worm dieth not and the fire's not quenched and people go to hell. I'm not ashamed to believe that. Because that's the testimony of our Lord. That's what He said. He's right. He said, man leave his father and mother, cleave his wife, they shall be one flesh. I'm not ashamed of that. Amen. I'm not ashamed of what Jesus Christ said about marriage. I'm not ashamed of what Jesus Christ said about the truth. Don't be ashamed of the Bible. Be ashamed of yourself, but don't be ashamed of the Bible. Well, that Bible, you know, tells women to obey their husbands. Well, deal with it. I'm not ashamed of it. Also tells parents to chasten their kids. I'm not ashamed of it. Look, the devil is trying to get God's people to cower down about the test. We're not talking about what we believe or what we think or how we've been taught. We're talking about what God said. There's one God. There's not one way. There's one way and one God and one truth. And He says, don't be ashamed of that. Be ashamed of whatever you want to, but never be ashamed of that. And if it goes against you, agree with that against yourself. If it goes against society, take that and forget about society. If all your friends think you're a kook, because it says modest apparel, because it says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, or whatever other thing is in this Bible that's not popular today, just junk it and believe the Bible. Don't be ashamed of the Bible. Be ashamed of man. Be ashamed of our world and our society. But hold on to this total package of the testimony. I want to be like Brother Roloff, amen, going down the plane, amen, just hugging that Bible, just holding on to that Bible. Amen. I want to go out holding on to the Bible. And if God said it, I'm for it. Amen. Whatever He said, I'm for it. If He said publicly, house to house, I'm for it. If He said God likes preaching, I'm for preaching. Yeah. Might as well like it. In millennium, I don't get to do it. We saw that. Yeah. Whatever He says, that's right. Jesus Christ is the total package because His testimony is perfect and true, and we should never be ashamed of it. We should give it to others. His testimony should be ours. The third thing, as you go back to John 3, the Bible says at verse 34, not only He's from heaven and above all. And secondly, He's the only one that has the true testimony. But secondly, or thirdly, He's the one who has the Spirit. The Bible said in verse 34, at the end of the verse, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto Him. Never a man knew the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit like Jesus. In Him was the total package. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily. Oh, I know a little bit about the Spirit of God, but I don't know the fullness that He knew. God did not give the Spirit by measure. He didn't say, okay, here's a little bit. It didn't come and leave on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He was full of the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ was conceived of the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ, in Him were all the gifts of the Spirit of God. He was everything the Spirit of God could ever feel and make a man. I tell you what, if there's anyone we need somebody that's got the Spirit like that. Thank God the Spirit of God is a gift for us as well. We receive it when we get our salvation. But oh, we ought never lose the sight that the Spirit of God within me is connected with me, connected with Jesus, you see. And the more He has the preeminence, the more the Spirit of God has fullness in my life. The more I'm filled with Christ, the more I'm filled with His Spirit. The more I'm controlled by Christ, the more the Holy Ghost directs my life. You can't be led and controlled of the Holy Spirit if your life isn't all about Jesus. Because the Bible says that God the Father gave not the Spirit by measure unto Him. He got it all. He had it all. He had all the anointing. He was the Christ, the Anointed One. He's the whole package. Then the Bible says, look quickly, verse 35. He was the one who was from heaven above all. He was the one with the true testimony. He is the one who has the Spirit. And then the Bible says in verse 35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. He's the one that the Father loves. The love of God rests upon Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 5 of John, John 5, verse 20. You say, well, doesn't God love everybody? Not like He loves Jesus. And we're fixing to see the only way God will love you is loving you through Jesus. This whole world has gone crazy thinking God loves them. They haven't read our last verse in our text. God's love is rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, there's nothing really lovable about you and I. I mean, we get up in the morning, we smell bad. Not just physically, but spiritually. We have all these shortcomings in our mind and hearts. We have all these secret things that nobody else sees about us. And the Lord sees them all. There's nothing very lovable about you. But now Jesus Christ, there was plenty lovable about Him. There was only things that God could love about His Son. John 5:20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these that ye may marvel. God the Father loved. All of God's love was wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what makes Calvary so amazing. That God would take His beloved Son, the one whom all of His love was wrapped up in, and He would stick Him on a tree and let Him be crucified in my place. You talk about an amazing thing. I love my family. There's a lot of people I love. I don't think I would sacrifice anybody I love for mine enemies. But all of God's love, God loved everything Jesus did. God loved everything Jesus thought. As a little baby, as a toddler, as He grew up, as an adolescent, as a grown man, as a preacher. Everything He did pleased the Father. The Father loveth the Son. And with all that love wrapped, God loved His Son more than you love your child. You can't even fathom the depth of the love of God. If love has ever been defined, it's defined in God. We can't even love without God. God is love, and God took all of His love and He put it in His own Son and loved His own Son. And then He took that own Son and He nailed Him to a tree. And He was bruised of God's hand. Why? For unlovable people. Man. That God would be willing to do all of that with the one He loved so much. And yet I can't wrap up all of my love into Him. What do we love tonight? I guarantee you, the people that you love, there are things about them that don't deserve that love. Many of our relationships, we love people because we have to love them. Or we love them because just the nature of unconditional love, we choose to love people. But not so with Jesus Christ. There is everything to love about Jesus. There is nothing to take your heart away from being drawn to Him. He is altogether lovely. And God wrapped His love up in His Son. Why wouldn't I wrap up all my love into the Son of God? Why wouldn't I love Jesus? Do you love Jesus more than you love you? Do you love Jesus more than you love a comfortable life? He's the one that deserved the love. He's the total package. He merits your love. He will never abuse you. He will never change. You can always count on Him. He'll always love you more than you love Him. So many people have chosen to love other people that have broken their hearts, but Jesus Christ will love you and He'll heal your heart. Do you love Him? Why is he the total package? He's from heaven. Because of his testimony, because of the Holy Ghost. Because all the love is wrapped up in him. Then the Bible says in verse 35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Jesus Christ is the total package because everything has been placed into his hand. The Bible says in John chapter 13, real quickly, I'm getting closer to the end. John 13, the Bible says in verse 3, Jesus is the total package because everything is in his hand. He's the heir of all things, the Bible says. John 13, 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, all things were put into the hands of Jesus Christ. John 16, verse 15. The Bible says, Jesus speaking again, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus said, everything that God the Father hath is mine. It has been put into my hands. The Bible says in John 17, 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life. In the hand of Jesus Christ is the power over all men to make them live, to make them die. In the power of the hand of Jesus Christ is the power to give eternal life to as many as will come to him. The Bible said in John 5, 22, that all judgment's been placed under the Son. Jesus Christ has been given all things. He's been given the judgment of all men. He has all knowledge. All the knowledge has been placed into Jesus' hand. That's why he said over there in chapter 2, in verse 24, he says Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Why? Because God the Father gave into the hand of Jesus all things, all knowledge, all judgment, all power, all life. Everything that God had, he said, okay, son, I'm putting it in your hand. And he's heir of all things, Hebrews 1, 2 says. And that's why it's such a wonderful thing to be a joint heir with Christ, because Jesus Christ has been given all things. And when I connect my life to Jesus Christ, I connect my life to everything that is God's, because it's all been placed in the hand of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. If God the Father can take Mars and Jupiter and the universe and the stars and the angels and the devils and the principalities and the continents and people, if God the Father can take the third heaven, everything, and put it, all the judgment, all everything, if God can put everything in the hand of Jesus Christ, so there you go, son. You can have, I'm putting all things in your hands. Who are we that we can't take our life, that little bitty speck? Oh, I don't know if I can trust you. God the Father trusted his Son with the moon and the earth and the sun. God trusted his Son with hell and with heaven and with everlasting life. God the Father said, okay, whoever you want to give eternal life to, it's in your hand. Anybody that comes to you, you give them eternal life. You have that power. All power in heaven and earth, God placed in the hand of Jesus. Why can't I place my life in his hand? Is my little speck so important, so precious, so valuable that I can't just leave it in his hand? If God the Father can put all nations into his hand, the kingdoms of this world, why can't I put my life in his hand? He's the whole package. He owns everything. He owns everything. Everything. All these people been out of shape. Who owns this land and that land? One day Jesus is going to come back. He says, okay, this is mine. Israel's mine. America's, North America's mine. South America's mine. Russia's mine. China's mine. All the seas are mine. Well, here's our... No, you don't have anything. It's all mine. It's all given to me. How about you? Have you been placed in his hand? Okay, here's my life, Lord. How many people have never gone to an altar and said, God, here's everything I am? They just can't trust him. God can trust him with the universe, but we can't trust him with our little pitiful lies. The next verse, I'm about finished. He said, number 6, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He's the one who has everlasting life. That makes him the total package. If he can let you live forever, that means he's more important than anybody that's ever lived. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And the last one, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you see the contrast in the Bible there? The Father loveth the Son, but he that believeth not on that Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you want the love of the Son, or do you want the wrath of God? Jesus Christ is the total package because he is the one who is the basis of whether God's wrath lies upon them or everlasting life is given to them. He's the only one that's important. And the Bible says if Jesus is rejected, if the Jesus of the Bible is not believed, then the wrath of God abides on you. God wrapped all of his love into his Son, hung him on a cross to die for your sin. And God loved the world enough to do that. But if you won't believe the Son, the wrath of God abideth on you. That's continuously never leaving. The wrath of God is not waiting on you. The wrath of God is living on you. The wrath of God is abiding on you. And that's what's so hard to see as we try to win sinners to Christ. We look at them, we try to love them, we try to show them Jesus, but we need to see them as people upon whom God's wrath is abiding on them. God is angry with the wicked every day. What's wrong with the world? God's wrath is on them. Why is God so mad? They won't believe his Son. Well, God, it'll all be all right. God's a big grandfather and he'll overlook it. No, no. The wrath of God abideth on anyone that won't connect their life with the Lord Jesus Christ because he's love. And without him, there's only wrath. And our world has the wrath of God on it. And we have the testimony to tell this world how they can get out from under the wrath and find the love of God in his only Son and receive the total package on the inside. What a joy and a treasure, a jewel. I can have the one that's above all in my heart. I can have one who has the Spirit without measure in my heart. I can have the one that has the only perfect testimony. I can have him in my heart. And the one who's the heir of all things, I can join my life to him. That makes my life matter. And I can have a testimony that will try to save others from the wrath to come. Why the flags? Why the ministry? The wrath of God is abiding on children and parents and houses and nations. And their only hope to get out from under that wrath is the testimony of the Son of God. And we've got to give them that message. What does it matter if I feed the world or take care of everybody's problems, but the wrath of God stays on them? That's what I'm trying to get off of people and point them to Jesus Christ.